This is Theresa Daniel, and I'm about to introduce part four of the July 4, 2021 interview between former Army Commander General Hudson Austin and George Worm. The general talks about some of the early intrigues by Bernard Cord to position himself within the Grenada Revolution.
Well, at early, who I was responsible to, not so much Morris as Eunice, white man, had control, was the post on the political bill who had to deal with the military. And sometimes when we traded, the area where we traded, we would bring Uni to observe the training. Right? Not Morris. Not Bernard. But Eunice White man could be a very secretive person. That is why I think Uni agreed that we were ready. The other leaders did you succumb or do I was the commander of the forces. Uni was the official or the political bill also.
Who interacted with you all?
Right.
So he would have known the readiness of the men for such a mission.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, now, Bernard, you know, many people think he's so big boy or so big boy in this thing.
Who is that, Bernard?
You don't know about the military.
Okay. We will come to him later on. Did any Grenadian military people, did any military person from Grenada, the PRA, went to Africa to help them in liberation struggles down there?
No. No. Listen. Our men didn't have that experience to do that. Cuba could do that. They have men with that kind of experience. Nicaragua could do that. Them countries who could do that.
Guyana
could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Without that.
We didn't have that.
Without that.
Okay.
For that matter, that would have been suicide.
Okay. Eche, I'm going to come to a very important part of this interview.
Do you want to ask me any question?
Yeah. Now, there are reports about tension always existing between you and Cord. I've heard reports about there were always tension between you and Bernard, especially between 79 and 83. Now, tell me about your relationship with Cord, as you were considered to be much more closer to Morris than Bernard.
Not considered. I was. Morris was my friend. We grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Bernard Cord until 1976. I didn't know him until 1976.
Okay.
Right? And let me tell you something. Bernard Cord tried something early in the game that make me suspect him. And I will tell you about it. We had military groups, different military groups around the country. But as you know, St. Mother's headquarters for almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he, Bernard, behind my back, sent Gahagan to tell the fellas at St. Paul's that I am no longer in charge. He, Gahagan, is in charge of the military.
You mean that was when you all were already in power, or when you all...
Before we get in power.
Before you get in power. So he sent Gahagan to do it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And from then I start suspecting him. I trust him. Because Uri was the one in charge at Morris. Not him. But he wanted to control everything. I noticed that early in the game, and I start watching him. Right? I told Selo about it. Selo was sure about it. So I check Uri. I say, what happened? You fire me? I just tell Uri I want to see me. He come here to see me. I say, it's important. I went to come and say, what happened? You fire me? Well, the boys tell me, Gahagan come. I tell them that he's in charge of the troops in St. Paul's now. So tell me, well, why did why you fire me for? You say I don't know nothing about that. You say, but he said nobody to tell you nothing, you know. He said, well, Bernard will do that.
So how could Bernard on his own take such a decision?
Because what happened? Those was his oral boys. Gahagan, Lane, Chalky, I take Prime to one of those guys. So he wants his boys in charge of everything.
But how could he take such a decision? When he had Mars there, he had Uni there. And
well, that is what he used to do with me.
Just you, he used to sit around.
You wanted me to leave. He went behind my back and tell Boris. Boris told me after that he think it is better to put me in the police force. Because he didn't want me in the army, he wanted to control the army. And I tell you that I had to tell the one that he wanted to control the army from day one. But with H.A. is a humbug. Mm-hmm. So he tried to do everything to get me out of the army. Right? Because he know it be there. He can't shit around. So anytime I was leave the country, I'd go. But and he acted as Prime Minister, he interfered in the army. He moved and he said that Chief of Staff had put leave. When Boris come back, I say, Boris, you see that move? I'm going to reverse it one time. Because that is a move he making to see what you will do, so then what you going to do next time. So since then, he played games. Well, he played a game on me.
So did Boris reverse the decision?
Reverse it? Same day he came back. Because Boris going to take what I tell him. And from that, Boris started to distrust him too. Because you can't have a commander-in-chief who just go out for a few weeks and you go out and dissect the army. You move up like a chief of staff.
Okay. H.A., I also hear of an incident in which you had brought in a vehicle into the country.
Yeah.
And Bernarda's Minister of Finance prevented you from getting use of the vehicle. He was claiming that the vehicle had exceeded the amount of cc's that would have been allowed for a vehicle to run on our road, and you could not get that vehicle, and you might have to you had to then take a decision, or the government took a decision to send that vehicle for Cornwall to use as ambassador in Cuba.
Well,
tell me about that.
That is true. I don't know, the car was at 1600 cc, so I know what was his heart.
1300, I understand. He said,
Honda car at 1600 cc.
But he said nothing over 1300. That was seemed to be the rule there.
Yeah, that is why he didn't like my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to know where the hell he getting all his motor vehicle. I went to GTVI and trained as a motor mechanic. In the night, take night course. And what a fool they do. At 1300, go burn more oil than at 1600, and oil is more expensive than gas. He used to do so much foolishness, I can't understand how he used to boast up university education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sent the damn car in Cuba, yes, I tell him, take it, something in Cuba. Because I had to pay for it, my car, I had to pay for it, you know. I used to get a box of a car. It was a nice maroon car, right? 536 was the number. That is true. He go behind my back and go to Morris with it. He didn't confront me on it.
He didn't confront you?
No. I said, Boris, man, send the car in Cuba.
Right.
And so, then I buy another one. I said, me and my children have to go pick up not make any money to buy my car. You don't go over there and pay for my car.
Now, let us look at the 1983 events itself, which brought the collapse of what I will call the first revolutionary government in the English-speaking Caribbean. Now, tell us, when did you realize that there was this real tension within the Central Committee of the NGM and joint leadership between Bishop and Cole?
Let me tell you something, George.
When you realize this?
It was a total conspiracy. Let me tell you how that conspiracy started. I went to Korea for the 35th anniversary of the Korean government. They invite us to send a delegate, to send somebody. Vincent Noel was supposed to go. But Bernard went and persuaded Morris to send me. And Morris, well, we thought it was right to send a military person.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, Bernard had the plans for when I out. All that time he making plans. Because when I leave here to go to Korea, there was no talk about joint leadership. The minute I got to Cuba, all of that come up. I mean, to Korea, all of that come up. So the whole joint leadership plot was behind my back. You understand? And now Lane is acting for me. Lane was the deputy commander. So Lane is acting. So you have it where you want it. With the eye out, when he persuaded Morris to send me out, he knew what he wanted to do. So that the time he go lunch, he bid for joint leadership. So that when he bid, making joint leadership bid, because he was commander of the army, late commander of the army. You understand? So that way he get his foot on.
Now let me ask you this. Now it is known that when you came back, there was a discussions were on, but you had abstained on the vote.
When I come back, there was no discussion. There was only vote. Time to vote.
Okay, so you.
So I told them, play, George.
You're abstaining.
I did hear what this is all about. I was saying, I'm not voting for that. I abstained because I didn't hear the discussion on. And what it's all about. But then I saw the vex, eh? Listen, let me tell you this. When the revolution came into being, Bernard Cohn was the first man at the meeting took place in his house to say that we can't go to the wall with two leaders. That time it was UD and Morris, joint coordinated secretary. And Morris made the mistake of not making UD his deputy. So what happened now? We can't go to the wall with two leaders. So we had to go to the wall with one leader, Morris. All this time now we have a plan because Radix was overseas as the
ambassador,
as the foreign affairs man. He get Morris to bring back home Radix and send UD as foreign affairs instead. He persuaded Morris to do it. And Morris told me everything. He go over in Morris' house and persuade Morris to bring back Radix home and let UD go as the foreign secretary.
Foreign minister.
So what happened then? Who could be the joint leader now?
Sika Uni always traveling.
So he though, with Uni out, he could become the next man. And the mistake Morris made, he go and make Bernard his deputy. That is the mistake he made.
Was there a decision? Was there a decision to make Bernard Deputy Prime Minister?
The Prime Minister prerogative.
So Morris made him Deputy Prime Minister?
Yeah, Morris will make him that.
I didn't know, so I'm asking the question.
Okay, he did.
H.A., I want you to explain this. Because there's a feeling that you eventually sided with Code and his disciples and this point. There's a feeling that in the end, that you sided with Code and them.
No, sir.
And the joint leadership.
No way. Mm-hmm. Hey, they hide everything from me. They even invited me to meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me tell you something. From the time the joint leadership came up, Bernard Cohn was made chairman of the Central Committee. Morris was chairman of the Political Bureau. And I have never been invited to a Central Committee meeting. When they heard a lot about that Barber Central Committee decision, Bernard Cohn decision, I was never, listen, you call meeting at the army, behind my back, and tell the men in the army, don't tell me what take place in the meeting. Tell the men, don't tell H.A.M.O. this meeting. He called a meeting in the house. He brought a code. Midnight. While Morris was under house arrest. Midnight. With he boys. He and the boys. They invite me to no meeting. They invite me. But when next morning when I go by Morris. Morris say. And Morris tell me about they were shouting out the last night. Long live the revolution and they're going on my brother. I say, what? I know about that. He said, oh, they didn't invite you.
So when Morris was under house arrest, did you ever meet him?
I went to see him.
And I mean, what you all spoke about? What did Morris tell you when he was under house
arrest? When I went to see Morris, Morris told me he showed me a letter that Cole wrote to him when he was in England, in university.
Mm-hmm.
Saying when he gets back home, he'll be getting involved in politics and he'll be making Morris his deputy.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to turn the wrong way. Morris becomes the leader and he didn't even satisfy with becoming the deputy. He wanted to kill Morris, wanted to get rid of Morris. That man do everything he could on his power to undermine Morris. Everything. I talked to Morris when he made Bernard Cole his deputy. I said, Morris, you rob. Unison White Man went through all the struggle with you. All the struggle with us. Where was Bernard Cole? I can't remember seeing Bernard Cole in that demonstration in Grenada.
But H.A., how does that explain that a few days before the execution on the fort, I mean, you read a speech on Radio Free Grenada, which more or less attacked Bishop, trying to say that he promoted...
But what happened? Let me tell you what happened.
Tell me about that speech. Tell me about that speech.
I really thought it was a statement from the Central Committee. I didn't know it was something that Bernard Cole alone write. When I said, normally, John, you know, everything for the parties, I go on the radio with it. From the morning of the revolution, always, these matters, I go on the radio station with them. Bernard Cole write that for himself. I don't have Central Committee decision.
But you are a member of the Central Committee.
Yeah.
So you should have known the Central Committee.
So I say, well, how the committee could come up with all this thing and I wasn't there? I said, okay, well, they want me to read it, I go read it for the people. But then when I went by Morris, Morris said, now you been calling my dictatorship. I said, no, Central Committee, you wasn't in the meeting. Because Morris said, attend Central Committee meeting, even though he's not the chairman.
So after you did that speech,
yeah,
you spoke with Morris?
Yes.
And what Morris said?
Morris said he didn't know that about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was in no meeting, nobody told me about Central Committee meeting. He said he was on the radio calling me a dictator last
mm-hmm,
night.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought it was a Central Committee meeting.
So, why then did you not, look at your own position? Why then didn't you look at your own position
that
and realize that you were being used by
that
the
That is what I did. That is when I get to realize that I was used.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that on his own. Those are no Central Committee thing.
So how do you know Bernard write it on his own? How you know?
Well, you see, he being chairman of the Central Committee, I thought it was I didn't think a man would be so nasty and could have it to write something on his own and give it to me to go on it.
Because Morris was supposed to
be... Morris was supposed to agree to it?
Was supposed to be a joint, joint leader.
Yeah.
Now,
I was wondering, how the hell Morris could agree to this?
because
I was part of code gang.
You are actually accusing Morris of one manism, as what Gary was doing.
The Central Committee.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that, not me. I only read it what the Central Committee said.
So somebody called you and tell you have to read it?
No.
How
did
that?
Give it to me.
Who gave you?
Bernard.
So Bernard called you and give you the speech?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, many persons have said that you are the general of the army only on paper, but that the real power within the PRA were in the hands of Code's two chief disciples, Ewart Lane and Liam Usu James, and Cornwall to a lesser extent.
Listen.
They figure that you are just...
Here.
A paper general.
Here it is. Those fellows knew very little about military.
Mm-hmm.
Now, little did Morris know that Bernard was pushing all his men in position to vote him in as a leader. They had a platform, they had leadership a long time. I guess. They could just come up with that one morning. Because he, Borat Gordon, is the one who said, let me go to the world with one leader. How come you want two leaders now?
Huh? Did you remind him of that? Did you remind him of that?
Of course.
What was his response?
He said, what he told me, things changing all over the world and we have to make change to suit the world.
So you had a plaster for every soul?
Damn fool.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Liam James was his chief of security. Lynn was the deputy to me and the chief of the militia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cornwall was in Cuba and he came back home when Richard Jacob took over in Cuba. Right?
So Richard Jacob actually took over
Cuba? No. Richard Jacob went to Russia and Cornwall to go by Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But when Bernard was the one that insisted on bringing back Cornwall home for the meeting, you see, he wanted all the boys around because they had their plans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I was told that was not a yesterday morning plan. It was something that they were planning because they start calling all the people who make the revolution, like Udi and Radix and Vince and all them fellas, they start referring to them as deadwood. So they want new firewood.
This brings us to the end of part 4 of the interview. The next part, number 5, will be aired in approximately 2 hours' time.